Hey everyone, Remy Maya here, founder of Mike's Arthur Gym, and actually now Hollow's Body. We are rebranding from Mike's Arthur Gym to Hollow's Body, and today I'm with Willem. What's up, man?
Hey man, good to see you again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been like a year or a year and a half. Yes, yeah? So last time we
We did some interviews at the start of the first pandemic. Lockdown, first pandemics, and we saw each other in real life even a year before that. It's over 2 years ago now, so. Back when we did a big event.
And I saw you in Amsterdam, and then I saw you in Utrecht.
Yes, sir. Over my gym. Yeah, at the big business coaching event.
So how did it go for you during the last, 22, 23 months, right?
Yeah, I mean, we were, I think everyone who's been in this part of Europe, but maybe also all over the world, especially in this part of Europe, gym closures were pretty frequent over the past 23 months. We've been fully closed for almost 12 months where we could only do training outside. And we were limited for most of the other months. And actually right now we are almost completely out of limitations, which is nice. But we were lucky enough to move a lot of stuff online. We were lucky to have a really big outside area, even though part of the lockdown was in Dutch winters, which are wet and cold, so that sucked. But mainly we were lucky to keep on all our staff. So we were actually to keep paying all our staff, even the freelancers. So every time we did have an opportunity to train outside or train indoors for a few months, we could really grow. And our retention was relatively good. I mean, definitely these were the only 2 years where we didn't grow exponentially. And I could tell that I got a bit spoiled from growing each year for 5 years in a row and then kind of flatlining.
Not the weight loss, I believe, right? At the time.
Yeah, exactly. But it was, we're growing again now. And I became a bit more humble that we weren't always an ever-growing gym, that members could get tired of not being able to train and weren't endlessly loyal. So, I've had a few bad months, but I'm in a humble and motivated place now. So we're doing good. We have all our staff. We're grown back to our old member numbers. So I definitely, compared to some of my colleagues, I can't complain.
Awesome. And so, you know, many gym owners had that mindset of, well, if the gym is closed, if I can't provide this facility with equipment in it, then I have no value to offer. How did you make the switch? Going outdoors or online?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting thing, because I think a lot of gym owners, when they moved online first during the first lockdown and they did online class programs or online coaching or stuff like that, it was still a new switch. So a lot of people were very excited about just doing online programming or online coaching. And then as the months progressed, we could tell like, hey, shit, maybe we really need the indoor venue. We really need to have people together. But I think, you know, just selling access to a gym, and that's a very often heard mantra, you're not just selling access to a gym. You know, a 9 or 10 euro a month Globo gym sells access to equipment and a venue. And I think the new school gyms, whether that's boutique fitness studios, whether that's personal training gyms, CrossFit or functional training gyms, they already figured out about a decade ago that it's not about the equipment or access. It's about the connection you build with members. The promise you make in your marketing or during your onboarding and delivering on that promise again and again, those are the things that keep people in the gym, that keep people, you know, happy and motivated to keep coming to the gym. Because I think every gym owner that offered outdoor one-on-one training, or every gym owner that offered did borrowing of equipment to do shit at home, or did at home YouTube videos with no other personal or group connection, that didn't work as well after the first few months. So I think everyone's mindset kind of changed. Weirdly enough, Globo gyms didn't do that much. They just went back to what they were doing before. But I think that's a great opportunity for new school gyms.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure. I think you Rick and Mark. They are in the Netherlands.
Yeah, as well. The Douwerse brothers. I actually just spoke to one of them, because they posted a video of being back in Southeast Asia again, and I was like, damn, I'm jealous with that kind of freedom. But no, I know them really well. They run a Climber's Cabin CrossFit gym as well in the south. So, yeah, I think they've been around exactly as long as we have, so 5, 6, 7 years or something as well.
Yeah. And so actually in January 2021, that's when they started with my program. And yep. they were feeling a bit stuck, you know, with those lockdowns that you had in the Netherlands. And they were actually losing members.
Mm.
Then we coached them on actually, you know, we made them shift that mindset of like, oh shit, the gym is closed. How am I going to provide value? And then we coached them on actually providing health coaching, on providing mindset coaching, on providing accountability coaching. And it's by providing those things that that then they were still able to provide value. And yeah. I believe it's one of my team members who asked them, what if it continues like that for 6 months?
Yeah.
1 year, 2 years, 3 years. What are you going to do? And so then they realized, well, I guess I could ask my clients the exact same question.
Yeah.
Because it's either you stay on the couch and you play video games and you eat ice cream, or, well, we can do it online, even if the gym is closed, or we can do it outdoor. And we're not going to give up. We're not going to give up on our health. We're not going to give up on our fitness. We're not going to give up on our energy levels. We're not going to give up on all those things. And it doesn't matter really if you can coach your clients on, you know, their health, on their habits, on their even deal with their trauma in some ways, you know, because people are binge eating or when they are drinking alcohol or when they have like coping mechanisms. If you can support them with those stuff, then you can, of course, provide incredible value, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you can find, you know, I think there's more than one ways to roam there. But when you can find a thing that you can promise, not even a big base of members, but if you can find the thing that works for your demographic, for your types of members, where they keep coming back to the gym, they are goal focused, but they really enjoy going to the gym. It feels like a loss for them if they're too busy to go. You know, they really want to go to the gym. It's not an, oh, I need to go to the gym, or else this or that will happen to me. And I think the reason why you probably work with, you know, a lot of smaller gyms compared to, you know, big gym chains or big global gyms is it's usually set up by people who already told themselves like, hey, I'm not going to have thousands of members like a big McFit will have. So people are already settling for helping fewer people, but actually helping them and, you know, getting to know them personally or helping them outside of the gym as well. Helping them not just with, you know, opening the door and giving them access to a treadmill, but saying, hey, I can help you with your nutrition. I can help you with your sleep. These things are all way more important. I can find a way for you that you want to come to the gym 2, 3, 4 days a week, or that you want to call in with me 2, 3, 4 days a week. Cause it can really show value for you other than, you know, having to go to the gym 3 times a week, just like you have to brush your teeth every day or else you might get a cavity. I think that's the reason why your system works with a lot of, you know, smaller gym owners, because they already made that commitment. Like, hey, I'm okay with helping just a few dozen or maybe a few hundred people. And I don't want to have 5 locations with thousands of members everywhere.
Right. Exactly. So, you're very organized. You love systems. You love processes. Any recommendations that you would have in terms of systems, processes, and, you know, those kind of stuff to actually...
Yeah, one of my first ever business coaches actually told me, like, you need to systematize processes or automate processes, but not communication. So you can set up a system for everything. You can set reminders for when to check in for someone. You can create a system for an intake form or for how often for a nutritional template or whatever. But I don't think you can automatize or systematize the communication you have with your members. So, you know, making sure that even though you know that you have to check in with someone once a week and you can systematize when you do that, for instance, it is still important that you're like, oh, shit, today at 1, I got to check in with Remy. I know that he's right now in Medellin, Colombia. So I'm not just going to send out an automated form like, hey, it's your check-in time. What's up? And I'm going to say, hey, Remy, this is your regular check-in. By the way, what's stuff like in Colombia? Are you adapting well to your jet lag or to the sleeping times, whatever? That's a very small example. But I think the pitfall for small gym owners that are very getting into systematizing and automating things, they have the tendency to get lost in automating their communications as well. So Another example is we do a 5-year gift nowadays, apart from our 3-year gift. So every time a member is a member with us for 5 years, they get a bunch of gifts. They get, I'm actually drinking from it right now. They get this, I always call it Unscared prison mug, because it, you know, it feels like that. Yeah. They get to introduce someone to the gym that will give a preference on the waiting list if it's someone they feel that really deserves it, and a bunch of other stuff. Now, we automatize the system to know exactly when someone is a 5-year member, but we don't let our virtual assistant or a junior coach tell that to this 5-year member. No, me or the other owner will usually personally call that member, hey, your 5-year gift is ready. Or even like I did yesterday to a few members, hand it to them in person. You can systematize all of that up until the point where it actually gets to a personal delivery. And I think that's one of the easiest and most important tips once your gym gets big enough or your client's base gets big enough to start really thinking about, you know, saving time by systematizing things.
You have quite a big CrossFit gym, right? How many members do you have now?
Well, at the start of the pandemic, we had 600 active members. We don't do sleeping members. We bother people for a few times if they don't show up. And at some point, we always, pre-pandemic at least, we used to send them the breakup email like, hey, we haven't heard from you for 3 months. It's not you, it's us. You're always welcome to come back, but we're going to stop your membership now. We're working with active people only. If there's anything we can do to get you back in the gym, please let us know. Usually people know like, oh shit, you know, I've had 3 of these calls and emails where I'm at, and they'll send back like, I'm so sorry, I was busy or I was on holidays, I'll be back in the gym. But when we work with that system, we were up to about 600 members. Due to the pandemic and stuff, we're now luckily back to around 500, 520. But I think for a single location, CrossFit and weightlifting only gym, that's quite a lot. We did change a lot over the last like 5-ish years. We used to do a lot of competitions and a lot of competition focused, not necessarily competition level athletes. And our demographics have really changed. There's a lot more CrossFit gyms here. We're on the higher price end. Our coaches, a lot of them are full-time coaches, so they're very professional. And we could really tell that we've now got a lot more people in it. Like, I am never going to do a competition, obviously. I just want to feel again, you know, like I felt 10 years ago, or
right.
I can tell that I'm getting more and more tired just playing with my kids or my cousins or nephews, or I don't like the way my body looks and feels anymore. And I want to find a sustainable way to change that. So we definitely became a more average Joe gym, so to say, than a lot of classic CrossFit boxes are, or what we used to be. We don't get the 25-year-old excited thrill seeker in as much anymore, and more the slightly tired 45-year-olds like, my knees hurt a lot more than they used to, I want to feel young again. And I think training helps me with that, and then the first thing we do is reaffirm that. But like, you know, like no other, that creates a promise of a transformation, or a promise of feeling better. And it's really tricky to do that if someone has a 2-3 times a week membership, because you're making a big promise. You're going to tell someone they're going to look and feel better and have a higher quality of life. And now you have 2 hours a week, maybe, if you're just a regular group class gym, to do that. So I think it's important to really consider what else you can do for someone in a day or a week.
Right, because probably the 2 or 3 workouts a week will not be enough. But now if they sleep well, if they eat right, if they can handle their stress, if they can handle their coping mechanisms, if they can handle their mental health, actually, yes, you can get transformational results with just 2 or 3 workouts a week. Yeah,
I think so. I definitely think so too. And I mean, our gym right now, we're still working with all the coaches in the venue we have. It's a big venue. We used to run up to 19 classes a day, I think, which is crazy. It's a bit less now as we went down a bit.
I've been to your gym. It's a pretty big gym. You were running probably multiple classes at the time. Yeah.
Coach classes only, no open gym. You train with a coach and you train with a group of people. You know, that's what we really believe in. And we always thought if we just create a setting where the classes are always good, they begin and end on time, everyone is already, you know, that's what we systematize to. Every coach in every class knows if they have Remy or me in class, they know what injuries I have, how often I showed up, all that stuff to really create still a personal experience. That works really well for us because it creates a really smooth experience. And because the classes are good, at least that's what we strive for every day, people come back. Now, if I would start a gym again today, I wouldn't rent 1,000 square meters facility probably. I would definitely, you know, go into what we actually just touched on real quick, which is quality over quantity. You know, if you really want to make an impact on people's lives, it gets tougher and tougher the more members you have. Right. And of course, you can delegate and systematize that by getting more and more coaches. But I think if I would go back 7 years and restart a gym, I don't know if I would do it like that, or if I would, you know, separate and start a gym on my own. I think there's a big risk for new gym owners to fall into the old school stuff, get more members, get a bigger space, and shit, my space is small. I'll get an even bigger space. I'll get more coaches and I'll get more members to create all that revenue. But most gym owners don't start to become a big Globo gym. You know, we don't have any, we're not public companies. We don't have shareholders to keep happy, you know, by constantly maximizing profits. We started this stuff to have a good impact and to help people. And I think that's easier to do when you settle for having 150 members instead of 750 members. Now, I'm now in a position where I can't send away 400 of my members and be like, let's start again. But if we're going to start a second location, if stuff is starting to look up again, that's a very serious consideration. And I think new school gym owners should really consider how they can help people best. And if you can just help 150 people with a staff of three, which you can really change those people's lives in the few years that they train with you. Gyms like that are popping up more and more, and they're being successful because they can create the time for their members. They can deliver on their promises and constantly focused on getting more members in, getting new members in, having a high churn rate. And every time someone leaves the gym, maybe they leave with a lot of new lessons. Maybe they join a better gym or another gym or one nearby. But the sad thing is a lot of people who leave your gym don't go to the gym anymore after that. And if you focus too much on getting a lot of members, just focus on quantity, you might be turning more people off than you're actually helping. And if you got into this to help people, it's something to really consider. And that's definitely something I didn't do 7 years ago. I wanted to have 1,000 fucking members and get rich. And now I'm happy that, you know,
but that I get. Actually, you can still get rich with 150 to 100 members by providing more, serving your clients even better. And actually, you can charge more also, right?
Definitely. I mean, if you're going to literally help 100, 150 people a year completely change their lives, and they're going to really look better, feel better, and be nicer to the people around them, that's the best, you know, advertising and marketing you can have. And people are, if they get, you know, one thing I learned, people who go to a non, you know, commercial Globo gym, they already said, hey, price isn't the unique selling point for me. I want quality. I want real help. I want to really
results.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think there's a lot to be learned there. I mean, it feels weird for me to talk about that way, because we're kind of in the middle. We really want to create that for people, but we're still pretty quantity based just because that's what we set up. And that's why
I'm awesome, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I can tell that I still have that drive that I'm talking about now. So I've done a lot of business coaching over the last few months, and now I'm actually starting Unscared Consulting, which is part of Unscared Fitness. Because the drive to really help people one-on-one more than just coach a class for them or open the doors for them, it's a drive I still have. And I like helping business owners do this because I'm just getting, I'm not coaching that much anymore. So helping people one-on-one, I'd rather have my coaches do that. But I really still believe in high intensity, slightly higher price ticket, helping people really change something instead of saying, hey, now you have the app, you can sign into any class and don't worry, the classes are good. So yeah, right. it's a bit of a hybrid.
Right. So you mentioned 150 members and it's like a magic number. Can you explain what that is? Why you said 150?
Well, I kind of got it out of thin air, but I think I can definitely justify that number. As soon as you go over, everyone who's listening to this and who has a functional training gym or a CrossFit box, they know the difference between when they had under 100 members in the first year or maybe first 2 years and how it feels now to have 300-400 people. You know, you start forgetting people's first names and faces. You might run into town with someone wearing the shirt of your gym and you have no idea who they are. That gets tougher and tougher. But I think 150 is such an often used number for new school gyms, because it implies that you're not just being a personal trainer with 20 to 30 clients a week by yourself in a small room. You still are becoming an actual gym, because you can host 150 steady members. But yet still, it isn't that much that you're going to lose track of all the programs you have running or all the members you have. So I also believe...
You experience that and you consult with other gym owners, and you can tell that 150 is like, it does change things. Actually, also, it comes from a study from a guy called Dunbar, right? Dunbar. An anthropologist, a British anthropologist in the 90s. And look at that.
Oh, shit.
He found out that the 150 is the maximum number of relationships a person can maintain.
Oh, and now I feel extra vindicated that I picked 150. But I didn't know this actual number. But he's a psychologist or a sociologist or something, right?
Right. Anthropologist, I believe. Yeah,
that's really cool.
This guy.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not good with a tie and glasses.
Yeah. Oh, but that's really funny, actually. And I believe that too. And I think, I was at a point for quite a while with the gym where I still taught classes about 4 days a week. And I knew every single member by name and by face. And I kept that up for at least the first 3 years of the gym. But at some point, I had a business coach that said, hey, your growth goals and how much you talk about giving other people career perspectives as a coach, you can't hang on to the nostalgic bullshit of knowing everyone's name. And that's all one of the reasons why we grew, because we had a big location. We wanted to employ a lot of people and give people careers in the field they like. I still think back a lot about those first few years where I knew everyone by name. And I actually noticed when someone wasn't in a specific class for a week or two on end, and it's,
Were just able to remember. Now with 600 members, you can't, right?
No. And I mean, that's a conscious choice, but like I said, if, there's a big pitfall that if you're a small gym owner or a new gym owner, that you always have that idea in mind, like, whoa, this is the amount of money I'm making with 100 members. Can you imagine what I would make and how I could actually be able to support myself if I had 300-500 members? But I think that can be super risky, because you're thinking like a big global corporate gym. That quantity is all there is. I want to have as many people as possible. And it's nice to see that there's a switch among new school gym owners to say, hey, what if instead of 1,000 people, I'll help 100 people, but I help them really, really well, and a lot of people will say, oh shit, I actually thought I could have like 200 members in my gym. 100 sounds like so little, but how many people do you know that help 100 people out, really help them out, really improve their quality of life on a weekly or monthly basis? That's a very, very select group of people that has that kind of, social relevance in nowadays. Of course, if you're a general practitioner, you'll help over 100 people a month, but it's very different from what a good personal trainer or a good gym owner can do for you.
The thing is that if you help with that health coaching, mindset coaching, habit coaching, accountability coaching, even trauma-informed coaching, if you help with those things, you can have group class memberships at $200, $300, $400, $500 a month. And now if you add a PT on top of it, it can become $1,000, $2,000 a month, right? And so then your average membership maybe is at $500 a month, right? Yeah. And yeah, so no, if you have 150 members paying you an average of $500 a month, you're doing well.
Yeah, I mean, that's more than we make, basically. So, but the numbers are just reversed. We have a 500, 600 people paying between 100 and 150 a month. Why wouldn't you change that around? And create a better service that has a bigger impact on people's lives. The only, you know, the only tricky thing for me is that you're going to have to settle for the fact that you're not going to be able to help everyone. You're going to be able to help a smaller number of people. And in general, you're going to help people that have the funds to do this. Now, what I also found out is most people do have, you know, especially if you look at the Netherlands and you look at the average income, most people, if you can really help them, they are more than eager to spend a few hundred euros a month. If that means they look better, feel better, and sleep better. If that means they feel stronger and they live longer and healthier, you know, that's the biggest investment people are willing to make. I think for a lot of people, time is a bigger, you know, issue than anything else. If you would offer people a pill for 300 euro a month that would make them sleep better, look better, feel greater about themselves and be stronger, most people would buy that pill. So what you need to convince people is, hey, not only, you know, can I give you basically that pill, but I'm going to give you a few hours a week where you're going to feel amazing and have the time of your life working out. And I think my biggest mission has always been with Unscared is to convince people that working out should be a thing you're looking forward to the entire day. Oh, I got a spot in tonight's 7 p.m. class. And I'm going to be looking forward to that the night before I go to sleep, you know? And right. A lot of people right now, going to the gym is just something they have to do, or else I'll get fat, or have to do, or else I get unhealthy, instead of something that people get excited about. Like
a sacrifice they make, but if they know that they're still going to have fun with a cool community and that they're going to get the results, they're going to make that sacrifice. It's going to be much easier for them, for them to make that sacrifice. But they don't want to become gym rats. I believe that in the fitness niche, the fitness professionals are in a bubble. Mm. You know, they are like in an echo chamber. And that echo chamber is just full of confirmation biases, where they would speak with other gym owners or they would speak with other coaches, and it just reinforces the bias. Where the fitness professionals love deadlifting, snatching, doing muscle-ups. Their passion, right? But they have to realize that actually for, you know, the rest of the population, they are not like them at all, right?
Tell a CrossFit gym owner that mostly has, that has an average age of people way in their 30s or early 40s. Tell them, you know what you're going to do? It's early 2022. From the rest of the year, you are not going to program a single muscle up or squat snatch anymore. And they will freak out. They're like, no, I'm going to lose all my members. The members will hate this. 9 out of 10 times, a lot more people will be relieved, you know? And I think that's what you talk about with that bubble. I think if gyms really, you know, want to make a change, because the last 40 years, if you look at gym trends, there's a direct correlation in the Netherlands, for instance, between the amount of gyms that are there and how obesity and overweight grew. So what we've done so far, it hasn't really worked that well. Of course, correlation isn't causation, but it says something. And I think why CrossFit and functional training and small boutique gyms got so popular is because they were really smart on the community and the fun part. Right. Most Dutch people, for instance, they no longer belong to a big community. People don't go to a chess club anymore. People are, you know, most of Holland is no longer religious, so they don't go through mass every Sunday or whatever. And, you know, you see a lot of sports teams that have friends teams, but a lot of people that aren't active, you're not suddenly going to join a soccer friend team on a Sunday. So people are looking for a sense of purpose and for a sense of belonging. And if you can say, hey, you are training at Unscared, that makes you an Unscaredian. You belong here. You get invited to all the cool community events. People know your name, etc. And you give them not just that sense of belonging, but a sense of purpose. Hey, if you're going to keep training 3 times a week and listen to the coaches, you're going to feel better. You're going to look better. You're going to get stronger. You're going to feel greater. The only thing you need to do is you need to show up, and you need us to let us help you turn this into a rhythm thing. You're creating both a sense of belonging to the community and a sense of purpose to their training. And I think a sense of belonging and purpose is what a lot of modern people are missing. Maybe I have a degree in philosophy, so maybe I'm going too deep in this, but I really believe that the sense of purpose and a sense of belonging, that's something that gyms need to jump into if they want to be a force for the better and a force for change in the future.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And that's what I teach, you know, within my program. I think that, yeah, they need that community and also that support in terms of not just, coaching in terms of the workouts, but just life coaching, actually mindset coaching, right? They also need that support, the community, and also the support that they would not really get anywhere else. You know, like people don't really seek out, life coaches that much. But if you can like promise a physical transformation and at the same time, you also upgrade their mind, great. Because, you know, it's going to be hard to motivate someone to work on their mindset, right? But if you get them in with the, hey, you're going to lose weight, you're going to feel better, you're going to feel more confident, you get them in this way, and then once they're in, you work on their mind, then that's awesome. They're not going to even know that you're going to work on their mind, but actually that's what they probably need the most.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's important for coaches as well to realize that not everyone has the exact same goals. Sometimes what someone even says their goal is, you know, isn't really the underlying thing. If you have someone come in and you're like, hey, I want to be able to do 3 pull-ups, and they're like, okay, cool, we'll make a program and so you can do 3 strict pull-ups in the end, and that's what we'll work on. It's often very important and relevant, and it can help both your client and you to ask, okay, but what will change when she can do 3 pull-ups? And they're like, well, I'll feel stronger, or, well, I actually feel like a sack of shit because I can't do it once. I can barely do a push-up. And sometimes when that goal might be, you know, tough to work with for you, or maybe even way out of reach, you can go into it with someone and be like, okay, what else would make you feel better about yourself? What else would make you feel less like a weak person? Or, very often people are like, if I could be able to do 1 muscle up, I would feel better about myself, or I would be able to impress this or that person around me. And you're like, okay, what else can we do to make you feel better about yourself? So I think it's important to keep asking why someone wants to have a certain result, instead of just saying the one thing like, hey, if you come and train here, you will look like a beach body athlete. You know, a lot of people don't even have that as a goal. That being said, it's also good to realize that most people just want to look better naked, and that's a very valid and important goal. You know, that's just how we work. And I don't think it's a bad thing to sometimes focus on that goal as well, but it can definitely also help, like, okay, but what will change for you? What will that change if you achieve that goal?
Behind that is actually they want to avoid rejection. They want to feel accepted. They want to feel loved. You know, actually, those are the feelings that they want, love, basically, and, being accepted.
Yeah, that's what everyone wants. I mean, that's, a lot of the choices I make in my life, even in my business, have that as an end goal as well, you know. I want to live up to the expectation I set to myself, and I want people that I look up to or that I love to say, hey, Vidim, you're doing a really good job, you know. And sometimes when you fail at something, or a goal is too tough to reach, or a result is too hard, you can still, you know, ask someone around you like, hey, you know, am I still doing this right? Are you still proud of me? Am I still accepted? And I think it's really tough for modern people to do that, because definitely in the gym scene, we can try to radiate that. Definitely old school gym scene, it's all like, yeah, you just got to be tough and harden up, suffer in silence, nobody cares, train harder mindset. And
yeah, like, you
know, the gym scene to be a bit more vulnerable and say,
no pain, no gain. Eat less, work out more. Even just do it. You know, this type of mindset only works for like your CrossFit athletes that would compete.
The people there are going to make it anyways. You know,
right? Exactly. But them. Actually,
they don't need help.
Actually, there is a stat that says that 92 or 93% of the people cannot stick to their habits and won't reach their goals because they can't stick to their habits.
Most people know exactly what what they're eating too much of. Most people right. know that they're moving to a little, or that they need to stop smoking, or, you know, most people know that. It's not about knowledge. It's about being able to create motivation and guidance right. and all that stuff. Right. So just saying, well, move more and eat less, you know, that hasn't worked for the last 50 years. It's not suddenly going to work right. now.
It would only work for the 8%, right?
Yeah, I'm not necessarily in that 8%, you know, I need external motivation to keep training as well. So I think the other side of that can be risky too. I think there's a lot of, you know, almost toxic positivity, like nothing matters as long as you keep a positive mindset and try your best. It's somewhere in the middle. For some shit, you do need to work hard. But just telling people to not be a pussy and work hard, that doesn't work either. And you need to find what someone's real, you know, underlying emotions are, maybe, or at least what someone's underlying goal and motivation is, and work with that and not against that to help someone get where they want to be, because that's in the end what someone is, you know, paying you for, to help them get where they want to be. And neither saying that someone should just, you know, man up and go to the gym and live on chicken and broccoli. That doesn't work. The other side, you're saying, like, as long as you believe in yourself, everything is going to be fine. You know, they're also not paying you to just be, a beautiful crystal cheerleader. It needs to be somewhere in the middle. And this differs per person. But you need to be accountable and promising someone a certain result and delivering on that result. That kind of accountability, that's your job as a coach or as a gym owner.
Right. I truly believe in tough love, right? But I don't think you should be lecturing people when you do that tough love. I think that actually the way is just you ask questions, like bold questions, yeah. and then they come up with the answers themselves.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it's up to you to, you know, create the framework to help them, you know, get to a satisfactory point. But it's going to be really tough when you fill in all that stuff for them and not going to have someone have some ownership about, you know, their own faulty thought patterns, or some ownership about, you know, where they, how you can get there. And just already saying, hey, welcome to the gym. I know that this is what you want, and I know that this is the way to do it. Pay me the money and we'll get to work. I mean, that hasn't worked up till now. And I think it's important to have a mindset change there.
Sorry, I just need to charge my laptop.
Yeah, no worries.
I took a bunch of notes based on what you said here, so I'm just going
to... I saw you playing away, so that's good. I was afraid that you were... I'm always afraid that if I'm talking and someone is writing along, that I'm being psychoanalyzed, but I'm glad you showed the notes.
No, so I wanted to stack on the fact that you said people want efficiency, and also people will pay if you provide, you know, the support. The thing is that if you have a $100 a month membership for functional training, but then, you know, the results are like so-so because you don't really help with nutrition, or you don't really help with all the other things that they need, actually $100 a month for just lame or okay results is expensive. But now if you charge $300 a month, and you make sure that, you know, they follow through in terms of nutrition, sleep, stress, all the things, and now they completely change the trajectory of their lives forever.
Yeah,
that's a freaking bargain, right? And so, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, for the discussion is so often about pricing for this, but I believe, you know, people, if they want to get results in the gym or with a coach or whatever, You need time, you need money, and you need the motivation. People right. tend to focus on the money part as gym owners a lot because that affects them, you know, in their mind the most. I think most people are pretty willing to pay. It's up to you to create those other two things, to convince them that you can do it efficient enough that time isn't a big obstacle, and right. to convince them, you know, that or to help them create that motivation. Right. A lot of people are just focused on the price part, the money part. But the time and motivation part is a way bigger obstacle for most people. So if you can say, hey, you know, if they would pay me a bit more money, but for that, I could offer something more efficient and way more motivating. I can work with someone way deeper. Cool. Like, fucking go for it. Don't worry too much about people's wallet. Worry about how much time and motivation they have to get fitter. Because in my experience, after being a trainer for 10 years, especially in Western Europe, money isn't the issue. It's time and motivation. So,
and I'm glad you agree on this, because that's basically exactly what I do, you know, with my business.
Yeah,
I coach my clients on how to do exactly that.
I know my audience.
So that's cool. An unlimited membership at your gym, or even a 5 times a week membership at your gym, is not sexy for them. It might appear awesome to you because you're in that echo chamber, and you know you're like a fitness geek, I would say, right? You're a fitness nerd, but for them it sounds like a nightmare. Now, if you can tell them, hey, with just 3 workouts a week, you're going to get amazing results, now it sounds sexy to them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you definitely don't want to have someone, you know, if you present them with a bunch of membership options and they feel like they're already a failure on day one because they picked the lowest membership instead of the unlimited one, you know, that's you're putting them a step behind. I mean, we have a max membership, not an unlimited membership, and we've had it since forever. But it's our lowest used membership, and definitely we focus on that as well. And it's a membership we don't offer to new people right away. You know, right. You tell them this is how you're going to start. You know, and if you can find the motivation,
the ones that would want to compete, maybe the top 5% or the top even.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, you know, most people that can train 6 times a week, that have the time, energy, motivation, I wanted to say money as well, but that's slightly less relevant in this case. The people that have the drive and time and motivation to train 6 times a week, those usually aren't the people that you're going to have a really high return on investment on as a coach who just wants to make people feel better and live healthier and longer, you know. People have that intrinsic motivation, they're going to be fine in a global gym usually as well.
Exactly, yes, exactly. And they are not going to be your most loyal members. As soon as another CrossFit gym in town will open, they're going to go to the other CrossFit gym if it's cheaper.
I think the only example that I can think of, and luckily we have a lot of members like that, is the people who started with us 6-7 years ago. And they were like, oh, I never really liked sports, but I really got to do something. I'll start on the 1 or 2 times a week membership. And after years, you know, they move on to that unlimited membership, and they come in every day, and it's become... they feel really bad if they have to cancel a class. That's a big win, but it's also really okay to let those people go at some point if they reach that level of motivation, and make space for people who do need to find that motivation. Because that person who's been training under you for 5 years and now trains unlimited, over those 5 years, you as a good coach have given them all the tools. They know how to move well, and they know when they move bad. They know when they're overtrained, and they know when they need to train more. They know what good and bad movement is and what dumb and smart behavior in the gym is. You no longer have to motivate them. And they're also past that point where you need to protect them from their own overtraining or their overzealousness. So those people leaving for a different gym and not being loyal, I always see that as someone has graduated from the gym. You know what to do now. I trust you. Go into a shittier gym. You're going to be fine. I feel like a parent where the kid moves out of the house to go study in a different city. And you're like, I hope I taught you well in your fitness childhood. Now you can go out and grow. I think that's a really cool concept. And members leaving us to go to a gym that suits them better, you know, 9 times out of 10, I'll miss that member, but I'm happy for them. And I think that's a good mindset to have as a gym. But if it happens within the first year with everyone, maybe start to worry. If people start leaving your gyms after 5 years of loyalty, they graduated, man. Let them fly.
right. Yeah, I agree. You spoke about impact earlier, and you spoke about the regular Joes.
Yeah.
And I think that actually coaches, fitness professionals, gym owners, personal trainers, they actually start this career because they want that impact. But then what happens is that they end up fighting for that 8% I talked about, right? Because when they try to get people from the 92% group, oftentimes, you know, those members would give up in like 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and then they would give up. And then the fitness coaches or the gym owners would be like, oh, I only want to work with the people who have the right mindset. And then they end up working with that 8% group, right? Yeah, well, actually, when they started their career, they wanted to have that impact on the 92% group, on the regular Joes, right?
I made this exact mistake. Like, this was me 7 years ago to a T. I even said stuff like, I'm in the luxurious position of only working with intrinsically motivated people, you know, and in a minute later, I could say I'm making a real impact on people's lives and their health. Like, if you're only working with intrinsically motivated people that want to that are pounding on the door at 6 a.m. because they want to get into the gym, you're not helping anyone that much.
Because you provided a barbell and dumbbells. Yeah, but not you, really.
I had 100 members. Two of them were girls that were super competitive. You know, and I did a lot of free competitive programming for those girls because they were my racehorses. So that was that gave me self-esteem as a good coach. Look at these super competitive girls, neglecting all other members. And I think if you want to be a competition coach, that's really cool. But if you just want to gym and run a gym and help people's lives, you know, focusing on that 8% that's already intrinsically motivated. I don't believe in that, but I made the exact same mistake.
Because those people are the ones who need you the most.
Yeah.
60%, at least in the US, right? I'm not sure in the Netherlands, but at least in the US, 60% of the people have at least one chronic disease.
Yeah.
75% of the population is overweight.
Yeah, it's lower in the Netherlands, but chronic illness-wise, my parents, they run a training center exclusively for people with chronic illnesses. Now their average age is about 50 years higher than the people at my gym, but it is a growing problem. We're getting older, we're getting slower, weaker, heavier, and we're moving less and less. So this problem will only improve. And I've said this on basically almost every podcast or interview that we do. It is insane that one of the lowest official paying jobs in the Netherlands is a fitness trainer, even though we need them more than ever. And we're still the biggest gyms in the Netherlands are still the ones that are doing it like the 80s. You know, for 10 euros a month, you can run on a treadmill and no one speaks to you. Like for me, that's still crazy. And I think definitely with new school gyms and new school gym owners, and it is definitely changing, but it's still going really slow. And we need to find a long-term solution to get people moving, at least not necessarily even into the gym, but people need to sleep better and people need to move more. You know, I have an allergy for grocery delivery services, because I know a lot of people in my vicinity, the one thing they did a day during lockdowns was at least walk through the grocery store and back. That's 10 minutes of movement a day. And we have companies now jumping into that. Hey, you don't want to move for 10 minutes a day? You can order your groceries right to your front door. And I think it's a great thing if you're less capable or if you have a handicap or something. But for average people, holy shit, you know, maybe the obstacle of putting on a backpack or a heavy bag and walking or cycling, whatever, to the nearest grocery store if you live in a city, you know, that's one of our last strongholds before not doing anything at all anymore. And that sounds way over the top, but if you look at the average activity of people 35 years old in the Netherlands, it's for an active country that we are. It's pretty shocking. Definitely those who don't ride the bike, but take the car to school. So to work, I think that's a really, it's a thing we as gym owners need to hold ourselves to a higher standard to. And we need to start getting people into the gym that otherwise would never get to the gym.
Maybe gym is not the right word anymore. And I'm speaking
about I agree with you.
But yeah, Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's getting people moving, getting people coached to move, or
live. And not only and the other things also, but I'll talk about it later. I think that if gym owners, personal trainers, really want a life where they have the income they want, where they have the time and the freedom that they want, and most importantly, why they started their career, they want the impact that they want, they need to help people who need it the most. Right? They need to help the regular Joes. That's how you're going to get the income, the freedom, and the impact that you deserve.
Yeah, you have more advantage to you can create a bigger benefit for someone. And in the service industry, the bigger benefit and the better experience you give someone, the more change you make, the more people are willing to pay. And it sounds very commercial, but that's just how it is. And up until this year, I gave a few coach courses a year. We're in a small group of 12 coaches. We went deep into, you know, how to create the perfect group class experience if you're a group class fitness coach. That has a bit of goal setting and lifestyle guidance in there, but it was a lot about how do you present yourself in a class and make the class as great for the regionals level athlete and the 40-year-old guy who hasn't trained in 20 years and who's super scared to go to the gym. And on day one of that course, I always hammered on how super serious I took this course, even though it was just a course for group class coaches. I always started day one with saying how incredible, powerful, and responsible people in that room might be. And the example I gave is the idea that someone who hasn't been in a gym or haven't done sports or, you know, hasn't done any kind of movement, physical activity in a group, in a fun way outside of high school gym class, before that person goes to the gym, they might have doubts for weeks or months. They might finally check out your website and see someone really jacked and be like, oh man, I'm just not going to fit in. They get that whole almost lower class high school feeling, like I don't fit in. This is not for me. I'll be an outcast, or maybe I'll even be laughed at or bullied. And a lot of grownups still have that idea that they might be laughed at or bullied in a space of physical activity. So if you finally get someone like that to come in the gym for an onboarding, or maybe just do a one-on-one call with you through the screen, or they go to an intro class, and you give that person a really good experience. You make them feel seen, and you make them feel heard, and you make them feel, you know, like they're not the weird one out. You can really change someone's life for the better. But if you fuck up, if you run a really tough guy drill sergeant group class and you don't give someone the attention, or even worse, you make a harmless joke that really hurts this person, person with all those months of buildup would finally go into the gym, they might be turned off. This person might never step foot into a group class or a gym again. This person might never have one-on-one call with a fitness or sports or a healthy lifestyle coach anymore, because they feel it's just not for them. They'll get laughed at, or they won't get taken serious, or they'll get hurt.
And that's too bad, because that's how we have the 75% of the population overweight, 60% with chronic diseases. Man, I saw a stat also that says that 94% of the deaths, you know, with COVID are actually related, connected to comorbidities. 94% of the deaths.
Yeah, we'll see that with every pandemic that will show up. If you have chronic illnesses, whether that hypertension or diabetes, or if you know any comorbidity that come with inactivity or obesity, you'll always have a shorter life expectancy, and that dramatically drops with an infectious disease. So getting someone into the gym, or if you look at it from a negative way, scaring someone out of the gym because you're not a caring or responsible coach that makes someone feel hurt or seen. If you mess that up, like in my example just now, you might take years of someone's life. And of course, everyone is responsible for their own choices. Responsibility.
Right. We're not blaming you, watching this video right now. We're not blaming you personally.
No. But
it's like the echo chamber of the fitness and health niche that is like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, and some people, of course, some people need a drill sergeant, but most people, they want to just feel taken serious. And that's why, you know, the kind of coaching you do for a lot of gyms, where you sit down with someone, discuss their goals, and promise them a transformation and take them through the steps, make them, you know, are straightforward with them, but take them serious as an equal. I think that's, you know, if you skip that step, you're already 10-0 behind. So
If you want the hardcore method, you would just sign up for the army and that's it. You know, like, that's not what they want.
Hey, maybe someone's like, you know, this is, I've tried it a few times. People were always too sweet for me. I need you to be an asshole to me sometimes in training. You can be like, you know what? I'm not going to do that in the group class because I don't want other people to see that. But come in for one-on-one. I'll be all the drill songs you need. That's totally imaginable. But that shouldn't be your default mode with someone who went to the gym in the first time. Definitely.
Are you familiar with that concept of blue ocean, red ocean?
I don't think so. I got familiar with your white and black magic example.
Yeah, we can speak about that too. So the red blue ocean, basically it says, I'm going to share my screen. It's easier.
Yeah.
There we go. So So you see the red ocean, basically you have, I don't know if you can see, we have one, two, three fish. Yeah, can you see it?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can zoom on it. Let's see. I can't zoom. We have three fish, but a bunch of hooks or a bunch of sharks in that ocean, right? And then you have the blue ocean. So it's a bloody ocean. That's why it's red. And then we have the blue ocean where you have a bunch of fish. And I don't know if you can see it, but here we have only one hook.
Yeah, I see it.
You want to be in that position if you want to have a successful business. And to be in that position, well, you know, that's the red ocean where you help those kind of guys that are self-motivated. Right. And there is only 8%. Right. And then you have also here this family. This is the 92% group that really need your help. Those are the ones that need you the most. And those are the masses. And that's how you can really grow your fitness business really easily. If you know, if you learn the skills on how to coach them so that you don't tell yourself when they're going to give up 30 days or 60 days later, oh, I only want the guys with the right mindset. And then you go back to the red ocean.
No. You're always
learn the mindset coaching skills, learn the accountability coaching skills, the habit coaching skills, those kinds of coaching skills, so that then you know how to support them, you know how to change their life, and they're going to be your most loyal clients that will pay you way more than this guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be fine on his own with a kettlebell in the backyard, you know. it would be stupid for him to pay you hundreds of euros a month. This guy knows exactly what to do, or this girl. But, you know, for me, it's also, if you're going to run a gym and you'll have enough members and it's a group class gym, you're going to have a few red ocean guys and girls. And I think if you can make them ambassadors for the gym and you can, you know, ask them, hey, people look up to you in this gym. So every time a new insecure member walks in and I'm busy, maybe you can, you know, show them around or tell them where, you know, the locker room is and tell them someone will get to you and you can bring them a cup of coffee. You can red ocean people like that, keep them in the gym. But losing red ocean members like that, it's not a big issue. And I think if you start your gym because you want to help people and you don't want to have hundreds of members, you need to, from day one, basically in your marketing, in your promises, in your setting, basically, you need to attract people from the blue ocean, so to say, to stick with that example. You do that from day one. You create the community, you create the kind of atmosphere. And if you want to help people, you know, like in the blue ocean picture, you're going to have a really weird and tough and difficult time if your social media is filled with red ocean dudes with no pain, no gain captions. Exactly. But I feel like we're most gyms are luckily realizing that in time. But if you're here listening, you're thinking about starting a gym, really think about what your social media says and what your marketing says.
Starting your current gym. Yeah.
If you want to keep members in, the only real thing you need to do is create a promise and consistently deliver on that promise. I've used this example, I think, maybe somewhere where you were as well. I think I used the example, but it was in Dutch, I think, with Build a Better Box, so you didn't catch it. But we talked about the burger example, you know, if you're going to have the
Dutch, I couldn't get what.
Yeah, if you're going to have a great burger somewhere and it's a 9 out of 10 burger, but the next time you come there and there's a different chef and the burger is a 4 out of 10. You're not going to show up there as consistent as, you know, if you go to a shitty fast food place like McDonald's and you know you're going to get a 5 out of 10 burger, but it's going to be 5 out of 10 every single time. You know, that's a consistent thing to show up to. That's a bad example because I don't want anyone to consistently show up to a shit fast food place like that. But it's a good example to say, hey, you need to create an expectation already before someone walks into the door, because that way, if you keep delivering on that expectation and delivering on the promise consistently, you can do that. If you try to get everyone into your gym, the red and blue ocean kind of people, you're going to disappoint both groups. And it's better to satisfy one group if you want to make an impact on the world. Help the people who need your help and not the people who are going to be fine on their own.
Love it. And so, you know, we spoke about the term gym, and then I said maybe the word gym is not necessarily the best word. So I'm going to share my screen again.
Yeah.
So I see basically three categories in the fitness market. Can you see that?
Yep.
Yeah. So basically category number one is the economy category, you know, between $10 to $50 per month. You know, the big box gyms like Anytime Fitness, Pride Fitness, I don't know the ones in the Netherlands, but you see what I mean, you know, low cost. Yeah, gyms.
Was that? Yeah, we have those as well. So I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
They have long opening hours and usually they don't really do classes. Then you have the average category between $50 to $150 a month. So here you have the CrossFit gyms. Here you have, you know, Orange Theory, F45, yeah, this type of gyms. Yeah. Or just, yoga studios or just HIIT studios, personal training studios, where they do group classes. And it feels more premium than the category number one. And then you have category number three, which is now it's luxurious, you know, like gyms like went to the UK at some point to visit some gyms that were like that in the luxurious category.
Yeah, I did that too. In November 2019, I did a London gym tour and I visited a few 500 plus euro or pound in that case a month gyms.
Right.
And there's a lot to learn from those. Right?
500 pounds or plus, you said, yeah?
Yeah definitely. Exactly.
So what I want to introduce to you is a fourth category, which is between the second category and the third category. And you don't call that a gym anymore. You call that a transformation center or a holistic transformation center or a body transformation center. You price it between 150 and 500 a month. You still do the same type of classes that you were doing in category number two. But now you add on top of that mindset coaching, accountability coaching, habit coaching, trauma-informed coaching, health coaching, and now you can start providing a transformation. You change your positioning from gym to transformation center, and then your marketing is going to be much easier. Your sales process is going to be much easier also.
I think if you look at current gyms, a lot of gyms are already, you know, doing the category two prices. But offer a bunch of a personal training, for instance, already on top to their existing members. So a lot of gyms don't realize it, even though they're doing it, that they already have a lot of members that would be more than fine with actually paying, you know, these kind of prices. And I think, you know, the biggest obstacle there for me with gyms like that is you need to really either yourself or you know, either you as yourself or the coaches you hire need to be really high quality. You know, they really need to understand how they can help someone with stuff beyond the gym. But yeah, that's I think where your kind of coaching for businesses comes in. So that's gonna be interesting to see.
Yeah, that's what we teach. Now we also teach accountability coaching, habit coaching, mindset coaching, trauma-informed coaching, health coaching. Yeah, exactly. We teach you that. Then we work on the marketing and sales, your positioning, your communication, your branding, all those things. But it's by first changing the category that then, you know, the advertising is going to be so much easier. The sales process is going to be so much easier. And, you know, when you provide personal training, that's great. But actually, do they really need personal training? Do they really need that? Sure. Yeah. If you want to teach them how to snatch, if you want to teach them how to muscle up, if you want to teach them how to do this complicated weightlifting, Olympic weightlifting or gymnastic movement. Yes, they need PT. But actually the regular Joe, does he really need PT or does he need when he's going to want to binge it at night and drink alcohol every night? Does he actually need help with PT where you teach him how to snatch, or does he need some support for his mental health?
Yeah, yeah, and that definitely ties back in with what we talked about before. You know, who are you choosing to help, and what's the promise you're delivering the demographic you want to target? I think we could talk about this for a very long time, but I see that I have to go in a bit, so we should definitely hook up soon again.
We can do another one soon. Yeah,
yeah, and I definitely if definitely if you're a bit further with this as well, I'd love to chat again, because as you can tell, we can talk about this for a very long time, and if I wouldn't be limited, we definitely
let's do another one in a week or two.
That sounds perfect. Remy, thank you so much. Sorry that I have to go in a bit.
No, Thank you so much for your time.
If you have any of your listeners who want to chat some more, or even want to butt heads or talk about business coaching, I'm sure you can tell them where to find me.
So what's the best way to find you?
Yeah, so reaching out to me through Unscared. So that's just sending an email through willem@unscared.fitness. So that's our URL, unscared.fitness.
Okay, so how do you spell Willem? How do you spell Unscared? Yeah, It's Willem.
Yeah. Like if you're American, like the actor Willem Dafoe, basically William, but instead of IA, it's an E.
Right.
There you go. And Instagram is, you should link that, because I'm not going to try and spell my last name again for you. That's always going to be a disaster. But I'm working with a lot of one-on-one business coaching clients again. Definitely from a very different perspective as you. For us, it's more building staff and building systems
and processes, right?
Exactly. So that's why if I have people who just want to, you know, get more leads or go for a more holistic approach, I'll send them to Holos Body. For us, I think that's why we get along so well as well, because we both in a way do the same thing but for pretty different demographics on different topics. So I think that's why it's cool to always butt heads. So thanks again for the talk, Remy.
Your insights for them, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, man, I'm still jealous you're in Medellin, so I'm gonna go out into the cold to go to the gym now here. So enjoy the good weather there. All right, thank you so much again. Take care, bro.